and that should be a started broadcast. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening live. This is John Johnson on Radio Edgy Talk. Tonight, our guest is Ali Crockford, and Ali is Wikimedian in residence at the National Library of Scotland. I've met Ali a couple of times at various things recently, and she's fascinating to talk to her, so I'm really glad she said she would come on. Ali, could you maybe just explain what a Wikimedian in residence is and how you got to be one?
Sure, yeah. A Wikimedian in residence, it's a role that changes, I think, depending on where you're working. So it can be anything from a sort of ambassadorial role. There's a lot of events. I can give a lot of talks at organizations about the value of working with Wikipedia and other Wikimedia projects. And then there's also events organizing. I've organized edit-a-thons with different groups. And then recently we've been doing a lot more with trying to put content from the National Library of Scotland onto Wikimedia Commons, so that it can be used on Wikipedia. So there's a whole bunch of different things that go into it. It kind of changes week by week, which is quite good.
Yeah, it's a nice sort of job to have. I think things alter and change. And you haven't got a Scottish accent.
I don't, no. I'm Canadian. So I came to Edinburgh to do a PhD at the University of Edinburgh in English literature. And just around the time that I'd finished that, I saw a Facebook post, actually, about a Wikimedian in residence at the National Library of Scotland. And I thought, oh, I know how to edit Wikipedia. And I don't know what a Wikimedian in residence is, but I think I could probably give that a shot. And it ended up going rather well. So that was about a year and a half ago now.
Right.
So.
it's quite interesting that you come from an English sort of arts background, but you had edited Wikipedia before you started this.
Yeah, I'd actually had a job doing another wiki that was using similar software. So I started editing Wikipedia to learn how to do it for that job because it was similar. And Wikipedia was easier to learn from than the wiki I was working for, which didn't have the kind of community and didn't have the help pages that Wikipedia has. So it's interesting because I went there because I found it easier.
Yeah.
As a learning platform. And it's gotten even easier. That was sort of 5 years ago now. And it's gotten even easier since then, which is great.
I mean, I noticed recently... The last time I thought hard about Wikipedia was probably when I was back in school teaching, which is a good few years ago now, and I remember using it with children. And certainly once you get into the actual media part of Wikipedia, it's a lot slicker looking, it's a lot easier to use than it used to be. And when we I've talked recently to a few Wikipedians, there's lots of wee things that are just really powerful that you don't necessarily know on the page and things now that, you know, you get to the mapping areas, and I'm slightly interested in Google Maps and online maps and stuff, and I find that's really, I mean, there's changes like that. And is there changes in how you actually edit Wikipedia?
I think there are always changes a little bit in how you edit. There's always conversations going on about what's going to be best for Wikipedia. So there are, you know, sort of pages in behind the pages, if that makes sense, talk pages, and conversations will go on there about where Wikipedia is going to go and what the community thinks is going to be best for it. And because the community is basically anyone who edits, it tends to evolve over time. But also I know that they are working on designing a visual editor, which is something that you can try out. It's not perfect yet, but they are working on it, and that will be something that would look more like a blog style editor. So the hope is that will encourage users who aren't as comfortable using traditional wiki editing syntax to contribute more freely, because they'll be able to format the text in a way that looks more familiar to them. It would look sort of like WordPress or Blogger or something like that.
Yeah, sort of what you see is what you get, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, which I think people tend to be more comfortable with, especially if you don't have much experience with any kind of editing. So, especially, and I'm thinking also younger users might feel a bit more relaxed with that, because it's something that they see in different platforms every day.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of our kids now are using blogs and Facebook and all sorts of things.
Where
they're doing sort of thing. So, I kind of want to maybe talk a wee bit about Wikipedia itself, and I sort of missed Jimmy Wales was on the radio the other day, I think.
I missed that.
On Radio 4, but I mean, I heard a wee bit at the start, but my wife came back to me afterwards and said, oh, did you hear the Wikipedia joke? There's a joke, and the joke is Wikipedia is great in practice but terrible in theory.
That sounds about right, actually.
Yeah, so that kind of goes to the root of what Wikipedia is like. And the other thing that I did hear, I think Jimmy will say, is that basically the assumption that people are good is behind it.
Yeah, I think there's something about Wikipedia that runs counter to things that you're told, especially now. So the idea that people will do things for free, that not everything needs to be inspired by money, and that not everyone needs to be paid in order to make something, that not everyone needs to be an expert in order to contribute to, you know, a body of knowledge. These are all ideas that seem completely counterintuitive to what we've been told for the last 20 or 30 years, or longer in some cases. So Wikipedia, in theory, sounds like something that really shouldn't work. It should just be a bunch of people screaming at each other on the internet. But actually, the community that works behind it are so interested in making something that works well and that is beneficial to millions, billions of people around the world, that tends to be where everything ends up. Whatever, you know, arguments or disagreements there might be, you can always go back to that fundamental principle of what is it we're trying to build, and how do we further that. And almost every conversation I've seen has been able to go back to that sort of fundamental point, no matter how strongly two people disagree. They can always agree on sort of what it is they're trying to accomplish, and that gives a fantastic starting point. It's kind of like very few other things that you see.
And could you elevator pitch what it's trying to accomplish?
Well, I think line, the mission statement that makes sense to me is trying to make the sum of all human knowledge freely available to everyone. And it's an idea that it takes a lot of work, and we're nowhere near getting there. There's obviously biases implicit in Wikipedia, as there are, you know, in any other resource. There's a problem with who has access to the internet, who has access to computers, language representation. They're all things that factor into it, but you have Wikipedians who are creating downloadable offline versions of Wikipedia for people who may not be able to access the internet as regularly. You have countries around the world where mobile phone providers are allowing free access to Wikipedia articles because it's a way of you know, doing research and getting access to knowledge where hard internet or wireless and landline connections may not be as common or as strong. So they make these inroads in all different areas, and they really are trying to make something that is of use to anybody, regardless of background or circumstance.
It's a fantastic, just a fantastic concept, and I mean fantastic in its true meaning. Usually people just mean fantastic and good, but it's to do with a fantasy that actually seems to be coming towards reality for a lot of us who go to Wikipedia straight off. Can I just remind folk who are listening out there, if you want to ask a question or throw a comment our way, if you tag it EduTalk, I'll try and pick it up and pass it on to Ali. So just on Twitter you can do that. So I mean, my sort of use of Wikipedia is probably pretty much like everybody else's. It's almost the first port of call to find out things. And again, if I go back to my wife, who's probably, I know again that a lot of people get into trouble for saying, you know, their wife is somebody who's not using technology, but she doesn't. But she talks about, if she wants to find something out, how will I find that out? I'll wiki it. And quite often that means she types wiki space whatever she wants to find out about into Google and ends up in Wikipedia. And it's become the sort of de facto answer to an awful lot of questions, yeah?
Yeah, it has, it's also, I mean, for the most part, if you Google anything, Wikipedia is the first, if there's a Wikipedia article, it will be the first one that crops up. I know that they've now integrated some Google searches where the Wikipedia article will be embedded in the side, alongside the search results, when Google returns your search results. So it's the first port of call, and even if it isn't the first port of call, Google will usually direct you there first thing. So, yeah, everyone's using it, basically.
And the other thing that comes to mind about that is when I started teaching, and well, actually a long time after I started teaching, computers started coming into the classroom, one of the things we were encouraged to talk to children about is, you know, fact checking, and you know, you couldn't trust things. And I've heard quite a lot of academics, again probably going back a while, saying, well, you know, Wikipedia isn't a reliable source, and I get less of that now. And I wonder if you could maybe, do Wikipedians see that sort of shift in the value of Wikipedia?
I think Wikipedians have always seen the value.
Yeah.
I think that they are recognizing that there's a shift in terms of how it's being viewed by others who aren't contributing. I know exactly what you mean. I teach at the university, and it's the sort of Wikipedia is shorthand to some extent for what you shouldn't use, what you shouldn't do, which is problematic, I think, in a number of different ways. There's you mentioned the importance of fact-checking. Wikipedia is one of the few resources out there that encourages its readers to check the facts and to make sure that what's being presented is as accurate as possible. If there are doubts, there will be banners that crop up that say, you know, this needs citation, or this may not be reliable, or this may be biased. You know, you don't get that with the Encyclopedia Britannica. You don't get that with academic articles. So while academics in higher education tend to be taught to question their sources and where things are coming from, it's a skill that isn't often taught more broadly. And I think Wikipedia is interesting because it encourages anyone who's using it to sort of pay a bit more attention than they normally would to what they're reading, especially online. And the other thing that I think is really interesting is a colleague of mine was giving doing an editing session at the University of the Highlands and Islands. And he ran into some trouble because Wikipedia had been blocked for editing. You couldn't edit from the university IP address. And this is kind of standard for most educational institutions. Wikipedia has just blocked their IP address because there's so many potential vandalism coming from one IP address or from one location. And one of the things that he sort of pointed out from this that I think was really kind of eye-opening is that when you tell students, don't trust Wikipedia, don't use it, it's not, you know, a trustworthy resource, you demean it, and you kind of open it up a little bit to vandalism. You kind of implicitly encourage them to see it as something that they can play with because it's not real, it's not valid. And the truth is that those same students are definitely going to use Wikipedia for research in some capacity. So it seems to me that what is much more valuable and what is, I think, increasingly happening is you have teachers in all different sort of levels of education starting to look at Wikipedia as something that students are coming into contact with anyways, and as a way of potentially teaching them how to use different resources responsibly and how to even contribute to those resources. And I think that that's having a shift in terms of how it's viewed amongst educators and amongst students, which is fantastic.
I certainly think, speaking as a primary school teacher, I would have never suggested to my pupils that it wasn't a good resource, because very often it was the only one. One of the things that I always found quite tricky, though, with Wikipedia is that the language for young children was quite difficult, because you're writing an encyclopedia, and the sort of only small person tip I've got for Wikipedia is to change the EN to simple.
Yes.
And you get...
Yes, there is a simple English Wikipedia, which is designed to be more accessible in terms of language. Wikipedia is supposed to be, because it's an encyclopedia, it's supposed to be a tertiary source, it's supposed to be relatively accessible, but if you've ever read any of the articles on physics or chemistry, I mean, for me coming from an arts and humanities background, they're completely impenetrable. I have no idea what they're talking about. And I imagine that lots of people coming from sort of scientific backgrounds looking at something on different types of literary theory are equally baffled. So a simple English Wikipedia is a fantastic resource to use, especially if you want to look at subjects in more depth, but you don't want to get lost in the jargon.
Yeah. I mean, I believe it was written for people that maybe English was a second language.
But I think so, yeah.
It certainly worked for me for 10-year-olds really well. And that sort of the accessibility, is there any other sort of ideas that how we could start to use Wikipedia other than just as a reference, or any other way we could use it in schools as opposed to universities? I know there's a whole education program it tends to be in higher ed and people using it. This is a really bad question because I'm really wanting to find out about both.
it's fair enough, because I come from sort of a higher ed background, so I know that there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
And I also know that it tends to be weighted towards higher education because I think it's a bit easier to do collaborative work with higher education institutions. They're often doing research that Wikipedia is looking to incorporate into its articles, so it just makes sense to sort of work with those students and lecturers and researchers and have them put some of that knowledge onto Wikipedia as they go. But you are definitely starting to see more of a focus on how Wikimedia as a foundation can collaborate with education in all its sort of forms. So there can be something as simple as encouraging your students to take pictures of the things around them in their town or on their street, buildings or statues, and upload them to Wikimedia Commons, which is the digital repository for images and sound and video. And if you upload that, you can show them sort of how they can help with Wikipedia, because there is now an image that they took from their town or from their street, and it can now go into the Wikipedia article. So something like that, where they can see more visually the impact that they're having, works a little bit better than trying to get them to edit an article, maybe.
Well, I think... I think that sounds a great idea for sort of slightly probably older or middle secondary kids, maybe the first introduction to committing to Wikipedia. And when you upload something like that, is there a process mm-hmm. that goes on then? Is there people that look at it, or is there any automation behind that? Or so if I take a picture of the church down the road or something like that, what happens if I just upload it?
So when you upload it, there's an upload wizard, which is actually really easy to use. It's quite clear. And it works like uploading a picture to Facebook, but with just a couple of extra steps. So you upload it, and one of the extra steps is that it asks you about your copyright, and it basically says, are you comfortable putting this on Wikimedia Commons? Basically, you're just saying that, yes, other people can use this, other people can rework this, reuse this, and I'm okay with that, and they will give me attribution as the author. So they just ask to sort of confirm that. And then when you have the opportunity to write in your description, you can also add in categories. And so that's where if you take a picture of the church that's up the road, you can sort of look in Wikimedia Commons, are there categories for churches in Scotland? Are there categories for churches in, you know, the city or the town where you are? And when you add it to that category, it makes it easier to find. So somebody who's been looking for a picture of churches in Scotland might find it in that category. Or if you upload it to the category for your city or your town, somebody who's writing an article on Wikipedia about that town might then go to Wikimedia Commons and say, ah, oh, look, this is here. I can put this in my article. There are always thousands of people in the background doing lots of things, so it may not necessarily get picked up right away, but if it doesn't, there's always the opportunity to take it that next step further and look at putting it into an article, which is itself, I think, something that would be really interesting to get, you know, secondary students and primary and middle school students to do, because it's something that is quite easy, and it's quite satisfying, I think, to take a picture and see it show up in a Wikipedia article and see that's my picture and there it is on Wikipedia.
Yeah, oh, I would have thought, yeah, I mean, one of the things I think that people's young children like to do is share things.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You just need to look at Instagram and all these sort of things, and I think if we can bring that sort of practice into education, it's really valuable. I certainly found a lot of goodness in getting children to publish stuff online, although we didn't look at Wikipedia at that time. And this sort of army of people going behind, they're also maybe involved in, you were talking about vandalism earlier, and I guess they're watching things and taking care of stuff, and there's people who do that.
Yep, anyone can do that. That's another really interesting thing that might work as a way of getting students to use Wikipedia, or even just to look at it in a different way, is that when you create an account, which anyone can do, it can be in your name, it can be anonymous, it can be up to you. But when you create an account, you can watch articles that you're interested in, and there's just a little star up near the search box, and if you click on that, it gets added to your watch list, and you can then check back and see when people are making changes to that article. So this entire army, they will all have articles on their watch list that they will keep an eye on. And if they see somebody has made a change and they think, well, what's that change? And they look at it and they go, nope, that's not legitimate. They will undo it. But anyone can really do that. So you can pick an article on a subject that you find interesting, and you can just watch it, and you can just see how it changes, see how people are contributing to it. And if, for example, somebody happens to vandalize that article and they write something in it that is, you know, not true or is inappropriate, you can contribute to Wikipedia by just clicking a button that says undo.
Yeah, just,
and that will put that article back to the right state. So there are things like that, yes, there's the army of people that go in behind the scenes and do that, but that army can also be anyone. You know, there's no qualifications to being part of that army.
And I guess if you do that and you make a wee mistake, then somebody, one of the army will sort out your
mistake. Exactly, yes. Yeah.
It's maybe, that's maybe a comfort to think about people making their first edits on Wikipedia.
And, oh, definitely, yeah.
And that's maybe quite a difficult thing for people to do.
I think that first edit, especially if it's a live article, it's terrifying, or it can be very terrifying to think, okay, I'm going to press save, and this is going to be saved on Wikipedia. I read Wikipedia. You know, there's this kind of sense what gives me the right to edit this, if this is something that millions of people read. But nothing can be broken on Wikipedia. There's no way of messing it up. It's true. You can delete an entire article accidentally, and it's okay. It will be back within 30 seconds. You haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
And there's a policy or a guideline on Wikipedia that is assume good faith. And it basically, it's this idea that all editors will keep in mind, that when you do something to an article, even if you get it wrong, even if you accidentally delete an entire article, they will assume that you were trying to help, and they won't jump all over you. They won't make you feel like you've done something wrong. And if somebody undoes something and you don't know why, you can always reach out to them and say, I'm new, and I was trying to help. How do I make it better? So and they will almost always respond to you and say, okay, well, here's what you could do that would make this a better edit. So, I mean, they really are a useful resource. I think people can view or can have this idea that Wikipedia editors can be quite intimidating, but actually they're really quite helpful.
Well, I think we've maybe got an image of a Wikipedia editor, and that's, I say, yourself, you're from an arts background, you were not... I'm guessing not a particular, you know, you weren't working in technology particularly.
No, I am not. I have horrendous luck with technology, yeah. Actually. So if I can manage to work with Wikipedia on a regular basis without destroying the entire encyclopedia, then anyone else can do it. Mm.
And I say, do you have any sort of knowledge of the range of people that are working on Wikipedia, the types of people, or is there, you know, is there?
Well, there is a huge range. I mean, it's somewhat anonymized because there's nothing forcing anyone to say who they are. So it's up to the individual user if they want to say who. I mean, I on Wikipedia, I say who I am and what my background is, in part because I'm working and being paid.
Yeah.
As a Wikimedian in residence, so I want to be very clear that what I'm doing, I'm not being paid to edit Wikipedia, I'm doing other things. So I'm very clear on my profile, but there are people who are, they have an entirely different personality on Wikipedia. I know that there are 16-year-olds that have done thousands or millions of edits and have made Wikipedia absolutely wonderful, and nobody knows how old they are, what their background is. All they know is that on Wikipedia they've done really good work, and that's all that matters. So I also know that there are, you know, 65, 75-year-olds who have contributed immense amounts to Wikipedia, and again, what their background is, no one may know, but what they do know is what they've done has been really good, and that's all that matters. So there is a huge range. There are obviously, you know, there are fewer women editing Wikipedia, which is something that's not unique to Wikipedia. It's kind of in sort of STEM, science and technology studies in general. That's a bias.
Yeah.
Obviously, it tends to be people with the luxury of internet access, personal computers, leisure time that they can edit. But there is a huge range even within that. So it's not the most diverse group of people, but that is again something that the Wikimedia Foundation is conscious of and is trying to change as it goes forward. And I do know that certainly in terms of age range, I know of a handful of users who have been contributing since they were teenagers, or users who are teenagers who are contributing and are well known in the Wikimedia community as powers to be reckoned with. They're good forces for good on Wikipedia. So certainly, getting middle school children and secondary school students to start editing, those are the people. Those are the people that can make those edits.
So if you were going to suggest to somebody where to start, because it's quite a big site, where do you go? Do you just follow what you know, or?
Yeah, I would say, the first step, without any question for me, is to make an account, because it takes about 30 seconds, and most of that is just trying to come up with a username that nobody has taken yet. Mm-hmm. You can be completely anonymous, and you don't need to do anything with an account. Once you have it, it's entirely up to you whether you do anything. Nobody's really going to force you to do anything. Mm-hmm. But once you have it, you can, as I said, add articles to your watch list. You can sort of feel a little bit more like you're involved. Mm-hmm. And even if you're just watching, even if you're just keeping an eye on articles that you know about, that you find interesting, and just seeing how they change, I think it just starts you slowly getting comfortable with the idea that this isn't the Encyclopedia Britannica, this is a source that changes constantly, and that the people who are changing it are just like you. They're not any different, they're not any more knowledgeable. They're just making little edits, one at a time. And that, I think, is a good place to start, because hopefully it will help you feel more like you can do it, as opposed to, this is for someone else and not for me.
Yeah. There's obviously quite a lot of skills that, again, I'm thinking from a school background, that children would pick up. And one of the things that somebody in some Wikipedia conversation mentioned to me is that the sort of style of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a... Is there a sort of house style of... That differs. I'm guessing that a chatty blog post is not the way to start.
No, that is a good point. I think when you read Wikipedia articles, for the most part, you can pick up that they're pretty neutral.
Hmm.
It's a pretty neutral style. You may see, actually, there are some articles where they'll have a tag saying that this article seems biased or something along those lines. And that would be more like what you're talking about, where people start making judgments and being more opinionated in how they write. There are style guides. There's a manual of style that's quite extensive in terms of grammar and spelling and that sort of thing. But I think the rule that somebody said to me that made a lot of sense is, if you remember that your name, there's no author attached to this article. So when you publish a blog post, it's typically with your name or your blogger handle, but with Wikipedia, your username is there as an editor, but it's you and hundreds of other editors doing this. So you have to just keep in mind that anything you say, you're not saying it on behalf of you, you're saying it sort of on behalf of a group of people. And that, just keeping that in mind, I think, can be valuable in terms of trying to stay neutral and unbiased. And anything else, there are the army of contributors that will you know, pick up on things like phrasing and alter it slightly or rephrase things so that they come across a little bit better. So, that's the main key for me in terms of style.
So it's almost like you give up ownership.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Wikipedia, there's a thing at the bottom that says you agree that all your contributions are released under a particular Creative Commons license. Mm. And it's not just that you're releasing your contributions, you also are giving up authorship because you're acknowledging that you're participating in a larger project. This isn't an individual writing an article or an individual writing a blog post or a book. There are other platforms for that.
Mm.
This is not the place for it. And I think keeping that in mind as you're writing should hopefully keep most people on the right track. And really, if you're on the right track and you're trying to do something good, everyone will do their best to make sure that you get there in the end.
That it goes against very much, as you said earlier on, it went against the sort of idea of people having to make money but what they're doing, or you know, all the rest of it. This idea of ownership and owning your own voice on the internet is very, very popular at the moment, so it's interesting that it pushes back against that.
It is, and I think it's interesting because Wikipedians have very unique personalities that emerge on Wikipedia. There are, you know, if you're interested in a particular topic, you'll start to recognize names and sort of go, that's somebody who's interested in the same things that I am, and I recognize the work that they're doing. But instead of authorship or ownership over individual, you know, articles or pieces of knowledge, it becomes more, you become the owner of a kind of identity on Wikipedia. So you become recognized as somebody who has made a lot of good contributions and is to be respected for that, as opposed to you wrote one good article and it's yours and that's it. It's a different idea about sort of an online identity and sort of ideas of authorship and ownership than we're used to. But I think it's quite valuable to think that way sometimes. You know, if we tend to get locked in ideas of this is mine.
Yeah, oh,
and
certainly.
This is how it's done. So, especially when you're dealing with younger users, secondary school users, I think, in particular.
Yeah, I was thinking of some 50-year-olds who are quite like that too.
Yes. Well, I think there's a lot of, I mean, there's ideas of authorship and ownership. Yeah. There's also ideas about, you know, how you read sources. I think that it would be really interesting to work with secondary school students looking at Wikipedia articles and saying, okay, well, is this trustworthy? And if so, why? And if not, why? And that's something that you don't need to really contribute necessarily to do. You can just find a selection of articles and sort of evaluate them or look at how they are evaluated. And it can be a way of introducing students to the idea of evaluating sources. What is a sort of reputable source and what isn't?
So, for people, we're actually at a very fortunate position in Scotland at the moment for people wanting to learn a wee bit more about Wikipedia, because, and I'm probably going to get it, is it the EduWiki conference or is it the Wiki Edu conference? I can't remember.
It's the EduWiki conference, yes.
Yeah. And it's, I believe, on the 31st.
It is. It's on Halloween. And it's being held in Edinburgh this year. So this is the third annual conference. The first one, I think, was in Leicester. I think it could be Lancashire. I'm not sure. The second one, I know, was in Cardiff. And the third one is being held in Edinburgh. And they're basically, it's a conference, but it's being styled a bit more relaxed than a traditional conference. So, If you're coming along, it's more to sort of see what has been going on. with regards to collaboration between education institutions or educators and Wikimedia UK in particular. Also what's been going on elsewhere in the world. And there are some workshops in the afternoon that are looking in particular at different ways of getting collaboration started and trying to sort of hash out what's going to work for different different levels of education, different approaches, obviously, you know, the types of students that you're interacting with, your location, you know, the resources available to you. So the workshops are more about trying to discover new opportunities, whereas in the morning it's more about looking at what's underway.
Right, okay. And the nice thing that we've heard is there's an offer for, there's a session for aimed at school teachers.
Yes. So in the afternoon, from I believe it's 2 o'clock onwards, there's a session aimed at it's Wikipedia, but it also Wikimedia Commons and all the other wiki projects working with under 18s. And I know that, with the understanding that because it's not a holiday in Scotland, the organizers have opened up the workshop in the afternoon so that if you are a school teacher in the area and you're able to come along from 2 o'clock to sort of, I think it's about half past four, then if you are able to get in touch with the organizers in advance and say that you'll be coming along in the afternoon, you won't need to register or pay the fee. You can just come along and join in the workshop portion of the day.
I mean, I think that's a really good opportunity. I mean, earlier in the year I was down at I think it was a pre-conference or something like that about education in London, and it was really interesting. We heard a lot about how Wikipedia was being used in tertiary education, and a lot of those things could actually be adapted and changed a wee bit for secondary education and even to some extent for primary education. So I'm really kind of keen to tap in, and I also think there's probably just a lot of things that teachers can learn, because generally what you do is you open up Wikipedia and you read it, but there are probably tips and hints that are very useful. And the first one, the thing you mentioned there, was this Wikimedia
Commons,
which is separate from Wikipedia to some extent. It's, you know, I know the media, or I maybe don't know, but I assume the media feeds in from one to the other.
I mean, if you click on any picture on Wikipedia, any language, it will have a Wikimedia Commons page, and you can go back from Wikipedia to Wikimedia Commons and see what else is there.
But it looks like a really useful... I mean, teachers are probably as bad as everybody else for borrowing things from Google Images to slap on a PowerPoint, and this is an opportunity to stop doing that.
Everything on Wikimedia Commons is free to use in any capacity. I mean, you can use it commercially, you can use it educationally, it is all free. I think the only restriction is that you share it under the same license, and that you give attribution to the original author. That's it. So any presentation that you're giving, if you're for example, getting your students to maybe put together a project that they want to share on the internet, Wikimedia Commons is a great place to go for any image, because you can use it and without any worries, without having to sort of stress about it.
I also think it's a good lesson a good thing to talk over to children about that. For all sorts of reasons.
It would be great if you could get children to stop using Google Image Search.
Yeah.
Then just putting it out there. It would be great if they could use something else instead.
What I always struggled with the kids I taught in the fact that the language they had to use was difficult, you know. I think sometimes in our blog post we settled for "I found this picture on Wikipedia," if they were smart enough, a wee link back, which maybe isn't in the, you know, in the letter of the law, but it was sort of the spirit of the law.
And I think Wikimedia Commons, I mean, they're making it easier with Wikimedia Commons, because if you find it on Wikipedia and you want to use the image, if you click on the image, it's quite easy to get back to Wikimedia Commons. And once you're there, how you can use it and how you give attribution is much clearer than it was when it was just hosted on Wikipedia. So I think that Wikimedia Commons is better in that respect. It's easier to figure out how you go about wording your usage.
Yeah. So we've run a wee bit over time, Ali. I don't know, is there anything else you want to touch on?
I would just also mention, you mentioned the EduWiki conference, but I know it's Halloween, but there's also the Teach Meet.
Oh, yeah, I should have remembered that, because...
Yes, in the evening. So just keeping in mind, the Teach Meet is being held at the Code Base, which is in Argyle House on Lady Lawson Street in Edinburgh, and that's from 7 until sort of about 11 o'clock, and it's more relaxed. We're trying to get participants from the conference to come along, but also just anyone who has any kind of relationship to education, regardless of what that is, somebody who's just interested, educators from any background, information services, anyone really, librarians, anyone who might have ideas or who might be interested in learning more, to come along and have a drink, have some nibbles, and maybe give a sort of micro presentation informally about what they're doing, or what they think people can do with Wikipedia, and that's open to everyone.
Yep, and a lot of our listeners will be aware of Teach Meets. We've broadcast quite a few from EduTalk, and it's a similar sort of bunch, so people know what, people in education in Scotland know what Teach Meets are about. I think we're very keen to get as many folk along as possible.
Yeah, definitely, especially if, I know it is Halloween, and if you have kids, it can be difficult to work your schedule around an event like this, but if you're able to come to either the workshop in the afternoon or the Teach Meet or both, I know that I'm personally really keen to get as many teachers and educators from the primary and secondary education in particular out to the conference in some sort of capacity, because I don't want it to be focused entirely on higher education. I want there to be a range, and I think Scotland is quite good at that. So I'd like the conference in Edinburgh to reflect that.
And I think maybe if you're, it's a good excuse to get away from Halloween sometimes.
Yes, if you'd like to use that as an excuse.
Take your kids round the doors early, and then pack them off to bed and come for a drink.
We're completely happy to do that, and I'm sure because it's Halloween, we'll have plenty of goodies and tiny chocolate bars and the like, so you can partake as you will, and we'll be very happy to meet anyone who'd like to come along.
Right. Okay, just on the, for people that are listening, if we're having a sort of, I'm just having a wee look, next week we've got Susanna Scott from the Borders College, who's going to be talking about open badges on the 22nd, and from there on in there's a variety of people, and you can find out about that on edutalk.cc upcoming, or just hit the link to forthcoming shows on edutalk.cc. This audio should be up in a day or two, and I'll pile in the links to the various things that we've talked about, principally EduWiki and the Teach Me at EduWiki. Can I just say a really big thank you to you, Ali, for talking about this.
Thank you for having me.
No, I think there's an awful lot that it's valuable that we can do back and forward between education and Wikipedia. It's maybe time for a wee bit of leverage. I think the last time I went to a Wikipedia thing, I actually signed up to Wikipedia in the train on the way back, and I think my next step is probably to star some of these pages or make them watch pages and start paying a wee bit of attention. So thanks for applauding that direction, and thanks for all the information. And thanks if you're listening now, listen to the podcast. Cheers.